poised on the Naugahyde kneeler in the confessional. It's dark and it's moody and it smells like incense and old people. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I pause for dramatic effect and clutch my rosary. I breathe in the courage to utter the words of my made-up sin of the week. I know God expects me to sin, or at least Father McMurray expected me to. He would tell us whenever given the chance. It seemed especially at morning mass or before science class. The sacrament of reconciliation is vital to the salvation. The chief qualities of a good confession are three: humble, sincere, and entire. So I needed to make it good, but not too good, because that's the humble part. So I assumed the kneeling position, and like a good Catholic girl, my plaid skirt fully touched the hassock. The magic priest portal slides open, and a silhouette of Father McMurray, barely visible through the old yellow lighting, would appear. It has been 1 week since my last confession. I would say perfectly rehearsed. A week is not very much time for an 8-year-old to come up with the sincerest sin. Even an 8-year-old as creative as myself. Yes, my child, I can feel his anticipation. Father, I lied to my mother about finishing my homework, and I stole an extra chocolate milk at lunch while Sister Sienna was yelling at Alex Rodriguez. The last of the trinity of a good confession was entire. Now, this is where I had to watch myself, because I'd go on, and I generally wade into the waters of a real-life sin, and I most certainly didn't want to do that. So I tried to be entire without being too much. I felt like my sin of the week this time was good. It was quite possible that I did lie to my mother this week, and I rarely did my homework in a timely manner, and I wish the hell I could have stole the chocolate milk, but that was not realistic. Because Sister Sienna had taken over lunch duty, and she was quite possibly the meanest nun that I had ever encountered. She smelled like mothballs, and she spit when she talked, and she was always talking about the Virgin Mary or the Detroit Tigers. He didn't pause, so I assumed that I was not suspect. He would see what a good, broken Catholic girl that I was, confessing my sins and about to willingly accept my penance to be forgiven and repeat, for his mercy endures forever, and seen. Such a satisfying sacrament coming from such a broken space. Catholic Church is filled with such wonder and riches and tradition and process and ritual. What I could no longer choke down was the patriarchy and the exclusionary tactics and the judgments and the guilt. I'm a person that likes church. I like the pews and the ritual and the community, and I have needed church space from my early years, and I continue to need it now. As a grown-up, religious-seeking humanist, I wish for such sacrament and such release. If only reporting my own brokenness was as easy to do as it was in the confessional, with the act of contrition as simple as a dozen Hail Marys or a few Our Fathers. Sometimes, even in my life, flagellation would be better compared to the self-loathing that seems to take up that space for me now. And knowing fully when I am sinning, my word for hurting myself and others, I would not have to make things up anymore, just own my acts or my behavior and do my best to resolve and not repeat. The irony is not lost on this recovering Catholic. Healing brokenness through confession and prayer, there is ease in that to me, but it pushes against all the complicated emotion that I feel against my Catholic upbringing. I feel like my Catholic history is like an abusive parent. I still want to please all of that hierarchy, but in the end, I end feeling rejected and unloved and not valued. It's hard for me to untangle my own brokenness versus the brokenness that was forced upon me as a gender nonconforming queer child navigating strange new towns all over the United States every 3 years. It led to a perpetual state of brokenness. Without a crew of kids to hold up a mirror and navigate my worth, it was challenging. The torments of bullying, if I approached situations whole, it was as if it was a challenge to the guidelines that were set up and I would become an immediate target. It seemed to me that breaking down me helped build them up, at least for a moment. And the more I was beat down, the easier target I became. Until eighth grade, I had the virtual safety net of the Catholic Church as my cushion from town to town. At least I knew I could find a nun to befriend me or volunteer and work at the church. But around eighth grade, my mother lost her faith and my faith lost me. Though I loosely tried to hold on to it, even in the face of folks telling me that my sins were unforgivable and that I needed to give up who I was to be right with God, the bullying by my peers and even some friends perpetuated a cycle that I was mostly able to break free of by drowning it when I ran off to New Orleans and waded into a sea of whiskey and beer when I was 21. It was in New Orleans, heavy with Catholic energy and imagery, that I officially moved away from that spiritual path and instead decided to invest my time and energy into the humans around me. Navigating my 20s and until babies, seeking spiritual comfort was snuffed out with human contact and community. Loneliness dogged me, and I fought to establish friends outside myself, not really even considering spiritual practice. I had been so broken by Christianity that I couldn't entertain the thought of finding comfort, although humans had also hurt me. Seeking community and comfort outside myself seemed easier and eventually was fulfilling. I met the love of my life in my early 20s, Sharona. Sharona and I built this life together. See, I identify as a person who brings broken bits to the table. It is part of who I am. Our relationship started out like they do, with mad love, up against the world, hitting the ground running. We made great strides in forward movement. We trailblazed like we do. About 7 years in, we had a decision to make. We needed to play or pass. So we did what you do in your 20s, and we took this road trip for enlightenment. And the enlightenment came in the Colorado Rockies. Feeling this interconnectedness to the universe and possibly the first spiritual stirrings of my adult life, we made sweeping decisions to go to the left of the fork together. It was a fork that we created by broken fusion and had to break free of the pain that we had inadvertently caused each other to move forward. There was very little modeling of other lesbian parenting relationships, and we just did what our hearts told us to do, create a family. And our definition of family included children. We marched on and filled many of the broken bits in the comfort of our relationship, and we created some new relationships. I was on a place to open my heart to a spiritual life and community with the lens that Devin, in particular, held up for us. It was at the Fox Theater's Christmas extravaganza, our little lesbian family sticking out like a sore thumb, the Virgin on the back of the donkey parading down the middle aisles, angels were singing, the momentum was building. Then it became dark with this escalating music, as a single light shone onto the Christ child. Our ever inquisitive Devin loudly whispers, "Who is that?" I catch my breath, feeling this sense of dread, and I'm about to open this door. "That's Jesus," I whisper back, hoping that that is the answer that she needs. The entire scene, the entire Fox Theater goes dark, quiet, the kind of silence that echoes in your ears. Then from this reverent darkness and silence comes a firm, accusatory declaration. Who's Jesus? It was a silver-haired, heteronormative choir of audible gasps. I believe that Sharona and I melted into our chairs. My mother pretended like it wasn't happening. And my father went, our sweet little river just drooled and grunted. So we decided to seek out religious community as a family. And this place right here supported us and cradled us. Through my transition, this church provided support for my family when I was really too busy or aware of their needs and focusing on my own. The support was vital, and I feel like the community was so entwined in our process and in our life. So Sharona and I faced this other fork a little less than a year and a half ago, and more time and more ways to be broken, a lot more at stake. It's been a hell of a process, and we're not near done. We decided to both veer left together, but this time steps apart, but still heading in the same direction. The timing was unfortunate for this space because the comfort of this church. We were experiencing a lot of grief as a congregation and as a couple and as individuals. There was loss all around. The growing edges of this congregation, owning our privileges and rejecting them and holding too tightly to pride in the past while at the same time flipping everything on its head and moving around all the traditions. It was super reflective of our life, Sharona and I, and it was almost too much to bear. I wanted to fall into these pews like a heap, like I did when my dad died, but the nest wasn't here. So I've chosen to sit with the brokenness here and still hold on to the proud Unitarian Universalist way of finding your own way and finding your own comfort during this celebration today with the two most important women in my life. I'm considering this a sacrament. I'm claiming it as a sacrament of reconciliation for me and Sharona, a public declaration of trying our best to work through our love in vulnerable and loving ways. And for my church family, bringing into the light the love and the hurt that I have felt here and offering both forgiveness and contrition here in this space. You are all bearing witness in the light of our that peers through the stained glass instead of the dingy yellow light of the confessional. This place does not have the patriarchal space that the Catholic Church and the guilt or the shame. We do try to create ritual and tradition, and I can make this place enough when it struggles because I know, like all relationships, it has the potential to be wondrous and beautiful and healthy. So I know that we claim to be a space where we can bring our broken selves, and I want to believe that. And I need to believe that, and I need this sacrament and this space in my life.